This is the Organizational Health Advantage Podcast with Keith Hadley and James Felton, Principal Consultants at Table Group. They're in the business of coaching leaders to build strategic focus and cultural alignment that leads to amazing results. This podcast is for leaders who are looking to increase productivity and morale while decreasing politics, confusion, and unwanted turnover. Welcome to the Org Health Advantage.
Hello, and welcome to the Org Health Advantage podcast. I'm your host, James Felton, and I am joined today by my good friend and colleague, Keith Hadley. Keith, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm just happy to be here, James.
Happy to have you here.
This is so much fun. I like talking about these things with you.
I like it too, and hopefully it's helpful to our clients and listeners.
Yeah, well, it's important to know, like, we talk about things that actually come up as we do work with our clients, and they come up all the time. And so the whole idea of these podcasts is like, let's talk about the stuff that we hear, you know, like one time is an anomaly, twice is like, well, that's a coincidence. Three times, like, wow, this is a pattern. Four times, six times, eight times, like, this is actually something that we should probably address. So today is one of those topics.
Exactly. And I would say, and we're fans of over-communicating, over-communication.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So yes, I think this is really helpful. So today we are talking about team level clarity. And so why does this come up, first of all, Keith? Why is this a topic in our client sessions?
At Table Group, if you've read, you know, The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni, we talk so much about clarity, you know, creating clarity by answering six critical questions, over-communicating clarity, reinforcing clarity. And we're always talking about that from the perspective of the senior most person in the organization, the CEO, right, the executive director, president, you know, whoever's at the top, and that team at the top needs to create clarity for the org. And then, you know, the next question is like, so we need to cascade the clarity down, but like, do we need to recreate the clarity? Do we need to change the clarity? Should every team have their own thematic goal? That's probably the one we get most. And the answer is like, not as straightforward as it might seem. Like the easy answer is like, yes, of course, everybody at every level in every organization deserves to have clarity. They will perform better if things are clear. But the clarity from the top doesn't necessarily translate into specificity or isn't as helpful at every layer. So,
right.
So yeah, that's why this comes up, is like, what is the work of mid-management in creating clarity?
Right. Right. And how do the people know how to make the best decisions at their level, taking into account the clarity from the executive team?
Right. Right.
Right.
One of our clients that we're working with now, one of their themes is like empowering their people to make better decisions. And so it's exactly what you just said. Like, everybody at every level needs to make decisions. We need to equip them to make decisions. Right. How do we equip people to make decisions?
Clarity.
With clarity.
Yeah. And so it's incumbent on a team leader to take in what the executive team has identified as the clarity for their company as a whole and make it relevant to the people they lead, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. And in some instances, it's going to be very similar, if not the same, to what the executive team has identified. In other cases, there's a need for more clarity at that next level or two levels down or three levels down. And so we're talking about all six or maybe even a seventh question to answer, right? So it would be, why do we exist? How do we behave? Core values. What is it we do? Business definition. How will we succeed? Strategic anchors. What's most important for us right now? The rallying cry, thematic goal. Who does what? And then what is sometimes also asked is, what's our vision?
Yeah.
What do we want to be in 3 years?
Yeah.
You know? And so talk about, let's just go down that list, Keith. Talk about how that could change or how we would identify the answers to those questions for a team two levels down.
Yeah. I think if you're listening to this and you're a mid-manager, the word that we would give you would be translate. Your job is to translate the clarity, make it relevant for every layer. So I guess let's start at the top. So the core purpose of the organization, that's our reason for being, That's what gives our organization meaning. It's what inspires us to work harder to do our best work. It's the difference that we make in the world. And we need to understand our organization's core purpose because it motivates and inspires. So at the team level, though, we would say that a team can't exist for a different reason than the company, but the team does exist for a unique purpose within the company.
Right.
Right. So if we say, well, what is the purpose of the organization? So if you're Southwest Airlines and your purpose is to connect people with the most important events in their lives, it's like, okay, so if I'm running our marketing department, or if I'm running the baggage handling team at a certain airport, what's our purpose? And you'd say, well, yeah, our purpose is also to connect people with the most important events of their lives. Our unique purpose in that is to make sure that when they arrive, they have their bags. You know, if you've ever gone on vacation, you don't have your bag, like that really changes the vacation a lot. And so like, can we find meaning, or can we translate the meaning of our unit or our department and connect it with the core purpose? It's connection to the core purpose.
Yeah, that's great. And then if we're talking about core values, we would say, boy, you know, everybody needs to live the core values
totally
that the executive team has identified, you know, so how do we behave and be consistent? But there are times when a team needs to maybe have an additional core value for whatever reason.
Right. Core values, really, we call those the, you know, the limits of diversity, like the behaviors that are non-negotiable. That if you can't live into these behaviors, you might not be a good fit. Now, if they're organizational core values, it's a good fit at the company. But yeah, I like how you said that. So an example we'll often give is there's, you know, one of the clients I work with, one of the teams runs their data function. And the chief data officer and one of their core values is like we're gonna be the department here that figures out a way how to do something.
Right.
Whereas the IT department of that very same company is kind of like all about operational efficiency. And they're kind of like, they are the safeguards of the company. They're going to make sure that people aren't doing things the wrong way. And so the IT function, their kind of default behavior is to say no. The data function, their core value is to say yes and how. Yes. Right? Like, what do you need done? We will figure out a way. And if you go to work for that company, you don't necessarily have to have that core value. But if you go work for that leader of the data function, you better be the kind of person that figures out a way how to get something done. So it's just like, it's a nuance, but it's a behavioral expectation that's kind of non-negotiable in that unit, in that department. Yeah.
In a marketing department, you might have a core value that is like, we're wickedly creative.
Right.
But you don't need everybody in an organization to be wickedly creative.
Right. The accounts payable team, not wickedly creative.
Please don't be.
Yeah. Yeah. But like their core value might be like accounts receivables. You know, we need people who are relentless. You know, it's like, okay, different vibe. You know,
exactly.
No. So I think it is a good activity for a mid manager to say, okay, with the unit that you lead, what are the behaviors that are sort of non-negotiable that uniquely define how you expect the people on your team to show up? And of course, they have to be consistent with, aligned with a translation of perhaps the core values of the org.
Yes. And the next one, what we call the business definition, which answers the question of what is it we do?
Yep.
You know, that could have some like defining characteristics for a team.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great one. That's actually probably one of the easier ones to say we need clarity. Like, what exactly does your department do?
Right.
Not in flowery language, in very descriptive language. And man, James, how often have we worked with companies where you have different departments and it's not really clear where the lines of responsibility lie? And so like, hey, like I was working recently with an internal project management team and it was like, so what do you guys do? Like, what are you actually responsible for? Like, well, we kind of work between departments. We kind of work between the lines and we've got special projects. And it's like, okay, let's see if we can't tighten that up. You know, like who formed you? Who do you report to? Where do you fit in this organization? If I came to work for you, what would I be charged with? Like, let's be really clear. Where does our department stop and the other department start? And now we get into some interesting overlaps. You might say, well, gee, isn't that the same as role clarity? It's like, yeah, it could be. But I guess role clarity is about individuals. Business definition, or we'd say team definition. We've had some teams use the word charter. I don't mind that word. You know, like, what's the charter of this team? What's our unique role that if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. And doggone it, it needs to get done. And so this is our job to do. Now, I think you can combine the business definition and the purpose into one statement and say, what is the work of this team?
Right. And we do that often. It's really easy to fit those two answers together, you know, and combine them.
Just really quick, a fun activity that we've done is we've said, imagine, so say we're talking to a mid-level team. Say, imagine you guys all showed up to work and just did nothing, but you faked it. So it wasn't noticeable that you weren't working, but you weren't doing any work. Like, what bad things would begin to happen? How quickly would they happen? Who would notice first? What would be the impact on the organization if you just literally stopped doing your jobs? And it's so fun to do that activity because right away people start thinking like, oh yeah, like accounts receivable. You know, it's like, yeah, we wouldn't have cash. If we don't have cash, we couldn't pay our bills. Our vendors would stop serving us. In fact, we couldn't make payroll. We wouldn't be able to pay people. They would all quit. We're like, oh my gosh, this department single-handedly has the power to destroy this company. They're like, I guess we do. It's like, that's really meaningful. And you can go to almost every department in the company and connect those dots to the point where like, man, the work that we do, it really matters.
Right. And that's powerful for a mid-level manager to do.
Totally.
You know, got to keep the people like understanding where they fit in and why they're important. That's a different book called Truth About Employee Engagement. But yeah, for sure, that's important. Question number four is, how will we succeed?
Yeah.
And this is about, you know, your competitive advantage, your strategic anchors. And it's important to think about that for a team. Like, how are they going to be a competitive advantage for the company? How are they going to compete against other companies? You know, the same function at other companies. How do they compete in that? Talk about that a little bit.
I like how you said that, James. You know, if the company's strategic anchors are what gives the company competitive advantage, what differentiates them, how does your department or your team carry that out? How are you manifesting those strategic anchors of the company? So if the company's overall play is, say, operational efficiency, then like everything that you do in your department has to be somehow driving operational efficiency.
Yes.
Or if the company's overall, you know, strategy is around customer intimacy or product leadership. Again, what is it that your team is doing to contribute to that and make sure that we understand? The other way to think of it is, how do you want to be known internally to other departments? Yep. Like, what differentiates you as a department? Are you the most innovative? Do you have the best customer service? Are you the most approachable? Are you the easiest to work with? Are you the most efficient? Are you the most competent? We'll sometimes ask this question. Say we're talking to the tech, you know, the IT team at a company, and we'll say, hey, if there was a big, you know, industry event for technology teams, what award would you win? If there is a big branding event for branding teams, and so you were being compared to other branding teams and other organizations in your industry, what would be the award that you would win? Would you win the easiest to do business with award? You know, would you win the most innovative award? Or like, we deliver more output for the lowest budget, you'd win the efficiency award, whatever it would be. And then, you know, make sure that everybody in the team understands the posture. You know, it's like you got half the team trying to be innovative, the other half the team trying to be efficient. Like, those are kind of diametrically opposed.
Right. And I love the way you put that, Keith. Like, if we were competing for an award against other companies, you know, the same function within the other companies. I also like to think about it with like within the company.
Yeah.
What award would we win?
Yeah.
You know, within our own company. Because I think so often we forget that we are competing with basically other functions at other companies. And sometimes we get this us versus them within our own company. And so I think thinking about how we're going to win and how we're going to help the company win internally is really important.
How often are there cross-functional tensions because the different functions that need to collaborate actually kind of have different strategies? different anchors, different decision-making criteria, right?
You know what? I think that's a great question. And I think the answer is more often than they realize. Like,
yeah.
Because I don't think they are clear about what their team level strategy is, or maybe their team level core values.
Yep.
And where though there is tension. So I think there is tension there a lot more than they have determined.
Yep.
Meaning on based on the clarity. Like there is tension. They know there's tension, but they don't realize that, like, oh, we actually maybe have a different strategy or different values.
Right. Right. Sometimes the tension is intentional. That was a hard sentence to say. Meaning like, hey, you know, we need our sales guys to really drive revenue, you know, but we need them to watch their costs. Like we're not, this is not just free reign to spend any money and travel anywhere, you know? Right. And so there's like this intent, there's built in tension of like, you know, you've worked with the finance team to get a budget that we need you to live within. By the way, we want you to maximize revenue. Like we're not talking about that normal tension. What we're talking right. about is the tension that's created when the sales guys are under the directive. Like, you know what we need? We need more FaceTime with our clients. Like we need face-to-face visits. Like I want everybody out there. Like if you're not with the client, you're not doing your job. And then it's like, hey, you're going over in your travel budget. And you're like, what?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so you realize like two different departments have very different strategic anchors. One is like the anchor of FaceTime with clients. The other is the anchor of like strict budgetary control.
Right. Which happens all the time.
Totally happens all the time. But if we need to be clear with our people, and then probably as mid managers, we need to get together and we need that actually needs to bubble up eventually to the exec team to say,
yeah,
you know, hey, what is our play here? I was with a client very recently that they realized that some of the support functions were operating very much on an operational efficiency model, and the business units were operating on a customer intimacy model. And so like, And it was a great conversation. It was like everybody was doing their job.
Right.
They were all highly motivated, highly intelligent, hardworking people. They were doing their jobs. They were just aimed at slightly different versions of the target. And so team level clarity was like, we have to translate. Where does the CEO want this thing to go? And then right. how do we get all of the teams aligned with where the CEO is trying to drive the company? And it's not like a right answer, wrong answer. It's just like, we just need the same answer at every level.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That so true. So true. So that was question four. Question five is, what's most important for us right now?
Yeah. How would you answer this? So this is a good, this comes up all the time.
So I love it because I think there are often times when multiple teams and or functions are fully in support of and needed for the thematic goal of the executive team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it would be really easy to take the defining objectives and their thematic goal and just go, okay, we do this, we help with this, and make that just your own thematic goal for the most part.
Yep.
There are also, even in that same situation, teams that have nothing to do with the thematic goal of the executive team.
Right.
It doesn't mean they are insignificant, right? It just means, okay, we don't really play in that. We're a different function. We've got different stuff going on. So how are we going to get better and improve and overcome status quo?
Yep.
And they make their own thematic goal with defining right. objectives.
Yeah.
And so I think at any time when a company's going through a thematic goal, you've got people who've got something very similar, and you've got teams who've got something distinct and different, and that's totally okay. What yeah. we wouldn't want is teams that are counteractive against the executive right. teams. And we rarely would see that, but it's like, right. it's either fully aligned or your team isn't involved and you've got something to get better in your own function or your team.
Right, right.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. When Pat wrote that book, Silos, Politics, and Turf Wars, you know, this idea of a thematic goal, but it's the thematic goal is sort of our short form of referring to the entire construct, which is you have a thematic goal or a rally cry that's supported by defining objectives that define how we're going to accomplish our rally cry. And underneath all of that is the answer to like, well, what's always important? The standard operating objectives. And so in your example, one team might be like the subject of the thematic goal. Like I remember when Gray Days, that a terrific company in Alpharetta, Georgia, like Gray Days, that one of their thematic goals was like safety. You know, like they wanted to, you know, really revamp and rethink how they were doing safety and make their employees safer. It's like, so if you're the safety director, like you are this topic, you're the subject of the thematic goal. Now, yes. If you're in finance or in project management, you probably contribute to that in some way. But then some other group, it's like, I can find my thematic goal or my focus probably embedded in one of the standard operating objectives. Like the sales guys were like, well, I don't really impact safety. Right. Like, no, right. You don't. Just stay focused on revenue. Like, just keep driving revenue because revenue is a standard operating objective. And if you're the head of sales, you might say, okay, while everybody else is focused on safety, I want my sales guys focused on, you know, building stronger relationships with their clients or, you know, whatever it might be. So yeah, right. I think I like how you describe that is, you know, it just can't compete with, but it's right. got to be aligned, connected to translation.
Yeah. And I would say it's got to be something that is about improving what we're doing, getting better yeah. or addressing an obstacle that we have and it's affecting our operation. Basically, thematic goals are like opportunities that we can take advantage of, or it's we've got to address a weak link in our business chain. And that's what this time is about.
Imagine you're mid-manager and you find yourself suddenly and unexpectedly on the elevator with the CEO of the company. And the CEO turns and looks at you and says, so what are you guys focused on? Like, hey, yes. Hey, James, good to see you. You manage this department, right? Yeah. So what are you guys focused on right now? You would want to have an answer. And then if you yes. bumped into like two or three people on your team in the hallway and asked them the same question, like, gosh, it would be great if they had the same answer that you had.
Right. And you'd want it to be something other than just like, oh, I'm focused on sales.
Yep. No, it's business as usual. Yep.
Yeah. No, we're trying to grow. We're trying to get better. So what is that? And that's the thematic goal. All right. Question six is more around who does what? Just being clear on, hey, you've got this, I've got this. And that could be within the thematic goal.
Yep.
It could be roles and responsibilities. The idea here is we need to be clear.
Yeah.
And make sure we've identified any gaps, make sure there are no overlaps unless it's intentional.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this before, but you know, it just, man, take out a piece of paper and just write down on the piece of paper, top three things you're focused on right now in your yep. own individual role. So you know, like, what's your top focus right now? What are the things that you absolutely own in terms of you're responsible for it? What are those things that you share? This is kind of that simple kind of racy concept of like, what are you responsible for? What are you, you know, accountable? Yep. Where are you a contributor? Where are you an influencer? I don't necessarily love the racy format, but I like those four questions. But yep. just take out a sheet of paper. Don't overthink it. Your role should be able to fit on one piece of paper in a series of like 3 to 4 bullet points under a couple of different headings. What do you own?
Yes.
What are you focused on right now? And then I just love the question, what's unclear? You know, in the book, First Break All the Rules, which is a book by Marcus Buckingham and I think somebody else, they came up with these, that's where the 12 questions from Gallup came up. And it was like the 12 questions that are most predictive of employee engagement. And they're in rank order of importance. And I'll never forget this. Question number one that has the biggest correlation to overall engagement is, do you know what's expected of you at work?
Right.
Like if you can't answer 5 out of 5, strongly agree, then like stop, do not pass go, don't do anything else, call your boss and just have the question like, hey, what's expected of me at work? And I think that's just a simple way of answering role clarity. What's expected of me as it relates to the rally cry? What's expected of me as it relates to day to day? Hey, I've been moved into a new job. What's expected of me? What's my mandate here? So lean into role clarity, not as a giveaway, but as like an active exercise. You know, that's every time you have a developmental coaching conversation with somebody, probably good chances to like ask that question again. You know, it's expected of you. Is your role clear?
Yeah. And then we threw in question number 7, which is more of a vision type of question, which is how do you envision this team being better 3 years from now?
Right.
You know, or this function being better 3 years from now. Right. And that could help then help with the thematic goal conversation. But we really think this is a huge area of competitive advantage because most teams within most companies are not thinking about how they will be a better team or function 3 years from now.
Yep. Yeah, for a lot of middle managers, like 3 years from now, they're maybe hoping to be moving on to another role. Well, then, you know, what's the vision for this department? Where do you need to get it to? Other mid managers, they're in roles that the 3 year vision is to like stay the course, don't let quality drop, you know, stay as efficient as we are. That's sort of a like you're here for the long haul, you're maintaining it. But yeah, if we don't all have that same shared collective vision of the team, you know, on this natural planning horizon of, you know, 3 at most 5 years.
Yeah.
I think that gives a lot of context for the rally cry or the thematical, like today's rally cry, which might have a 6 month timestamp on it. It's in light of that 3 year goal. It's like
right.
Getting to base camp. We did a whole episode on this idea of, you know, long range vision.
Right. The importance though is one, it needs to be in support of the vision for the organization, of course.
Yeah.
And two, no company wants status quo. And so this would be really important for any team leader, function leader to be thinking about how do I want this function, this team to be a better team and having better results 3 years from now.
Yeah. James, we've been talking this whole episode as though somebody is working in an organization that has answered the 6 critical questions, but that's not always true. Any leader anywhere in the middle of an organization, even if their manager or their senior leaders haven't answered the questions the way table group would answer them, right? It is still a very valuable exercise just to pull out the 6 questions and just try to answer them for yourself and for the team you lead. Do it with the team. I have a very good friend who just got a brand new position in a local organization, in a church actually. And he's in a new role. First thing it is, he sat down with his team of about 10 people and he just said, I just have 6 questions. Let's just see if we can come up with answers to them. And it was like, he didn't overthink it, but afterwards he said it was incredibly powerful. You know, like he's the new youth pastor at a church and he just like, why do we exist? How do we behave? What do we do? And what do we not do? We could do so many things. What are we going to do? How are we going to succeed? What's our thematical? What's most important right now? And who's doing what? He didn't need to have answers provided to him from the senior leadership. He could just do that at his level. Now, of course, it would be great if he was able to key off of larger answers. And I'm sure in his case, many of them were. But anybody anywhere can stop and just ask these questions and create team level, department level clarity.
Yes. And so, you know, when we think about responsibility based leadership, when we think about employee engagement, what we're really saying is there is this need and this importance to provide team level clarity for the people you lead. And of course, you and I primarily work with executives, but this is really impactful for any employee. And so we would really ask leaders to take this on and provide this team level clarity. By the way, it's a great way to hone your executive skills as well and be prepared for promotions because you're thinking about leading your team the same way the executives are thinking about leading their teams.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a great way to manage up.
Yes.
Right? We've been talking about this as managing the people you lead. It's a great way to manage your boss. Like, hey, by the way, boss, like this is what I'm focused on. I got my team rallied around this. Does that seem like the right thing? It is. Okay, great. I'll just keep going then.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to need a little bit more budget because I've got this focus and this is our, you know, this is how we're going to succeed. And so I need to make this more true. And so that's why I make it a proposal for, great opportunity to use this clarity to manage up.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Team level clarity. I think it's really important no matter what team, what function you lead. And with that, we want to say thank you for joining us. Please subscribe and share. Keith, it was great having you, and we'll say bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Org Health Advantage. Your hosts, Keith and James, are helping leaders change the world of work and invite you to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. For more resources on building stronger teams and organizational health, check out tablegroup.com.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.